And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. I mean, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I'm talking about, wow, this one, Alabama. And I mean to say, we go send our signal like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right, hey, listen, we're going to be calling in the top of the hour is going to be Ryan Cantrell from the American Federation for Children. He's been on the show a couple of times. He and one of the other guys from his organization, Corey DeAngelis, that organization has really made a name for itself in the realm of school choice. So we'll be tackling school choice for a bit with them, because just in the last few days, there's been some new stuff. Pray tell, Phil, what new stuff have you got? Well, story here on Alabama Daily News. Questions grow over the impending school choice expansion legislation. Okay, right now it's almost a given. So you heard Speaker of the Alabama State House, Nathaniel Ledbetter, was here in studio at Right Side just, what, a couple weeks ago, Boomer, I think it was, yeah. And so Speaker Ledbetter, he said he expects there to be a comprehensive school choice bill this coming session. Now, why they couldn't do it before now, I have no idea. I mean, there really has not been a good explanation as to what it is that scares them. I'll tell you what it is that says they scared them was the teachers' union. I'll tell you more about that in a minute. But what we're seeing is that nationally, Alabama, which ranks at the lowest it can be in education rankings nationwide, that Alabama is also falling behind those who are trying to make dramatic changes and bring school choice to bear. School choice, if you're not familiar, I'll just say it again. School choice is the idea that confining a kid to a zip code-based schooling is really an injustice. That's like saying, well, because you live here, that's where you get to go, and I'm just sorry for you. What other place in the world do we have something like that? Well, because you live here, you can only shop at that grocery store. Excuse me? Yes. Because you live here, you can only play in that park. Why is that? Because that's the way it is. But this park sucks. I mean, it's got no swings, no slides. You know, the trails are all muddy. It's bad. Well, it's where you live, kid. Sorry about you. So, I mean, this wouldn't fly in any other realm of society. Well, because you live here. Well, that's what schooling has been. For how long? Now, there's a time and a place when, you know, maybe it might not be the best school in the nation, but you could kind of count on there being some level of excellence and some level of, you know, pushing forward in standards that made sense. And again, some cities, some schools, some districts better than others. But not like we're seeing now. Here's the other thing. Aside from the fact that public education is perhaps one of the few places in the nation where they can tell you that because of where you live, you have to do it this way or do it right there. Here's the other thing. Where else can you think of that you're allowed to just simply fail and then keep getting resupplied with money the next year? Like no repercussions. Well, your school is apparently not up to par. Here's your full appropriation, plus a raise for all your employees, and let's see what happens this year. Well, apparently you failed for another year. Well, we're glad, though, to love on you, hand you another 3% pay raise for your employees, and oh, by the way, we're going to give you more days off. Well, you failed again. I'm sorry you keep failing. I don't think you understand. We want you not to fail, but we're not going to ask you to change. Just come on back in next year and see if it works. That's what education has been. And there are some wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people in education. I know because some are in my family. I can just tell you right now, there are people out there whose calling it is to educate kids. There are people out there who go to work every morning with the idea of instilling more and better into those kids than just, you know, I mean, go figure. The kind of people you would want to have working with your kids. And then there's some absolute dregs of society who could care less, who view it as a job, who join the union, don't try to tell me how to do my job. Parents have no right to tell me what to do in my job. I don't even like your kids. I'm just here because it's how I get paid, and I got tenure. You can't do a thing about it. And you know they're there. You know there are. By the way, what other vocation can you think of that has tenure? Where else can you go in the private sector and tell your boss, you know, boss, I just don't feel like you're a good boss. I don't want to do the job anymore like this. I'm going to hit the minimum standards, and you're going to have to lump it. And I got tenure, so you can't do a thing about it. Wow. Nowhere. Y'all, the only way to get around this is to bring some wholesale change. There's going to have to be. And I'm not one of those who's like, it's always about change. I mean, I was trained in leadership as a young officer. I was trained. Change is not what you do on day one. Change is maybe what you do after you've assessed and applied and checked in with your senior NCOs and made sure you know what's what and who's what and where's where and how the bones are buried. And then you know what? It's your organization, so you begin making changes. Well, I can just tell you right now, I feel like I have been there and done that in terms of watching state government and being a part of state government and in trying to make changes to state government. And I can say with great confidence and with the ability to say I feel like I've been there and done that, we need some change. School choice is where it's at. So right now, story on Alabama Daily News. Expanding school choice options in Alabama and how they'll be funded will be a significant part of the 2024 legislative session. What's still unclear, it says, is exactly what a majority of the 140 lawmakers will agree on. Okay. They point out again that this past year, we had a thing called the Price Act. I was keen on it. I liked it. We had it on the show. A friend of mine, Senator Larry Stutz, was one of the two sponsors of the bill. The other was Representative Ernie Yarbrough, who was also on the show. I think the world of Ernie. Plans to reintroduce the Price Act, Stutz does, during the 2024 session that begins in February. He says, I'm continuing to work on it. I've met with folks from the governor's office about 2 or 3 weeks ago. We don't have a final draft yet, but I'm very hopeful that we're going to have something the governor, lieutenant governor, the vast majority of the legislature are going to get behind. All right, good for him, and I'm glad. My question is, what tweaks are they going to make? Because I thought it was a pretty darn good bill before. I've heard, I was talking to some folks the other day, that one of the things they're looking at is, you know, maybe the part that I thought was really cool was that if you finish up high school and you haven't used up all of your education dollars, that they can help you go to college with it. But I can see that being the one they take out because people were real leery of that. It was scary. Okay. The other piece of this, though, is the question of what the education educrats are going to be asking for. Well, educrats, they want to see, well, we want to make sure that this runs through the state school board so we can track it. That's not school choice. School choice is not putting the fox in charge of the same hen house. It doesn't work like that. School choice is not saying, well, all you people who've been failing that make us want to get away from you, we're going to put you in charge of that. That's ridiculous. I mean, there's zero common sense built into the idea that, well, we need to make sure that the state school board has testing and approval authority and perhaps even accreditation authority. That's what they're trying to do. Keep your eyes on this. The goal is going to be to make sure that they don't, well, you know, if the public schools, I've been doing these fake conversations the whole time. You notice that, Boomer? The public schools, you know, they have to go through testing. We should make sure that y'all go through testing. Okay, but what kind? Are you going to say that we have to have an accredited form of testing or we have to have your testing? Because if they want us to test what they test, y'all, I'm telling you, all that is another example of trying to rope in some control, and it's not going to be good. Let me grab this article from the bottom of my stack. I had it in a different order, but I'm going to bring it to the top. The reason why the school choice legislation in the last session failed was because of leadership, number one. House and Senate leadership were not willing to get behind it. Let's be honest, we have a Republican super majority. It's a super duper majority. If they want to pass something, they can. If it doesn't pass, it's because they didn't want it, period. At the same time, though, story on 1819 News that came out in June of this year points out that the teachers union in Alabama, it's called the AEA, the Alabama Education Association, the teachers union, They basically took credit for killing the school choice legislation. They put it in their journal. They printed it. They said, quote, AEA brought several dangerous school choice bills to a halt. We fought until the end to amend charter and grocery tax bills till they were not harmful to community schools. Right. They went on to also say SB 202, which was the Price Act. SB 202, the School Choice Voucher Bill, known as the Price Act. With your help, AEA worked tirelessly to defeat this legislation, as it would have been detrimental. Okay. What they're saying there, what they're saying is that they don't want anything that makes them look like they weren't doing their job. What they want is status quo, because status quo is comfortable to the educrats. Well, our kids deserve better than comfortable. Our kids deserve to know that someone's leaning forward in the foxhole. Our kids deserve to know that someone is out there literally saying, there's a better way, follow me. And right now in Alabama, the only way you're going to get there, the only way you're going to get there is by allowing comprehensive school choice, because then the parents will have the say. And if someone's to blame, you can blame it on the parents then, AEA. At that point, you can say, well, your kid failed, but he wasn't in our school. Right now, the kids are failing, and they are in your school. All right, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come back. We'll put a kind of a wrap-up on some of these sourcing of articles that I've got. I'm going to tell you about other states. Oh, my gosh, the other states. Things are happening like by the day now. I mean, Corey DeAngelis from the American Federation of Children, he says the dam is breaking on school choice. We'll talk about it. And then top of the hour, Ryan Cantrell calling in from American Federation for Children. We'll talk to him about the same. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. I'm saying making common sense like a superpower. Hey, so we're on this topic of school choice, choosing choice. That's number one on the triple dipper. So just so you know, right this very minute, it is what Corey DeAngelis from the American Federation for Children is calling a dam breaking. Where is that article? I'll find this one. Hang on, I got two or three with his name in it, but yeah, I tell you what, here's this. This is brand spanking new. Local channel WOAI out in Dallas-Fort Worth. Governor Greg Abbott in Texas, continuing to urge state lawmakers to pass a school choice bill. Abbott spoke on Monday at a parent empowerment rally at the state capitol. The Texas Senate passed a $500 million school choice bill last Thursday. It would give $8,000 in public funding every year to each qualifying student to help pay for private school or other education costs. The House has opposed such proposals. House members may start discussing the bill as soon as this week. So what's happening there, just so you know, Texas, they're in session right now. And their state legislature is like, woo, we're going to get busy on some school choice. And they have had their ups and downs on it just like we have. But they're busy, and their governor right now is calling for it. Now, Governor Kay Ivey here in Alabama, she did say, and it was kind of like there's not been a lot of push. There's not been a lot of, you know, overt mention of what the plans are. But she did say in a recent interview with our friend Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News that she believed the time was finally now for school choice. Thank you. Thank you, Governor. Thank you very much. But then here's this. How about this one? North Carolina. This story came out September 27th, so just right at about 3 weeks ago. North Carolina becomes the ninth state to pass universal school choice, but it was the first to do it without a GOP trifecta. What does that mean? Well, they got the House, the Senate, but they didn't have the governor. In other words, the parts you have to have in place to pass those laws, they didn't have all the three. All right, the three-legged stool to pass legislation requires the House and Senate for passage, the governor to sign it into law. The governor could choose to veto it. The governor has vetoed things in the past in North Carolina. But this year, they went ahead and showed him they were serious. They had majorities in the Senate and the House with enough co-sponsors to prove that if he vetoed it again, that they would have the ability then to override his veto. Woo-hoo! So Republicans in North Carolina and Arizona, it says, can pass universal school choice, then all red states should be able to get the job done and empower all families. A story on Fox News, September 27th. And by the way, that governor in North Carolina, that Democrat governor, just back in June, he actually declared a, quote, state of emergency about Republican school choice bills. A state of emergency. Like, what are you going to do? You going to lock down the society again because maybe we'll wear masks to protect them from your school choice public state of emergency? But yeah, North Carolina didn't even have a Republican in every place necessary, but they still got it done. How about this one? Louisiana. Here's big doings. So story on the Wall Street Journal, dated 4 days ago. It says Louisiana was once a pioneer in school choice. After Hurricane Katrina in 2005, New Orleans rebuilt its schools as an all-charter system. They also enacted a private school voucher and program in 2008 when Bobby Jindal was governor. And then came Governor John Bel Edwards, a Democrat, who has now stood in the way since he took office in 2016. Says last year he vetoed two bills that would have allowed families with children who weren't reading at grade level or had special needs to get state-funded education dollars to go to schools of their choice. Just basically saying, nope, not going to have it. But this year it says the Republican-controlled State House passed an even more expansive school choice proposal by a vote of 61-37. Now, the Senate never took it up in Louisiana. But now, here's what just happened. It kind of flew under the radar. The press doesn't want to talk about this. But in one of the things that some consider to be a bellwether, you know, of things to come, John Bel Edwards was term limited, the governor of Louisiana. He was term limited. And believe it or not, just 2 weeks ago, did you hear about this? A lot of people didn't. 2 weeks ago, a Republican won that seat. A Republican won the seat for governor on a campaign that was in part on school choice. What does that tell you? So a guy named Jeff Landry, who had been in Congress, ran for governor, got 52% of the vote. His own campaign website says, quote, no child should be trapped in a failing school. And if a school cannot adequately educate its students, those students should be given the ability to obtain an education worthy of the commitment that we have made to them. Yeah. And then lastly is this one from Fox News again. This is the one from Corey DeAndes I mentioned. Governor Mike DeWine, this story came out just about, 2 months ago. Mike DeWine of Ohio, $86 billion budget, included a school choice, pro-school choice policies. So you've got Ohio just went all in on school choice, as Corey DeAngelis. The dam is breaking for the government school monopolies. Arizona, West Virginia, Iowa, Utah, Arkansas, Florida, Oklahoma, all in the last 2 years. Texas considering it right now. North Carolina just did it. I'm just telling you, folks. Alabama, listen, you better pony up, people, because the reality is this thing polls so high. I mean, you can look at the polling on school choice, and it's bipartisan favorable. But for Republicans, it polls so high that it is almost a lose if you don't do it. And there's only so long you can keep running down this road of, well, you know, we just don't think the bill was strong enough. Bull crap. You know you can. You know you can. You just don't want to because you're scared. It's time to stop, take assessment of where we are, and realize that just handing them their appropriation every year and hoping they do a little better with the pay raise we gave them to show them that we love them, that's not going to cut it. That can't cut it. It hasn't cut it yet. It has been years since Alabama was climbing in the polls with some measure of consistency. And it is time now for the Alabama legislature to get it done. To get it done like we did in 2013 when we came out there with the first school choice bill in the middle of a time when the AEA had what we thought was more sway then. All right, coming back now at top of the hour, Ryan Cantrell, American Federation for Children. We'll talk to him about school choice on a broad scale. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. all you